Welcome to the Successfully Unemployed Show, the place where ordinary people become extraordinary by finding the path to financial freedom through entrepreneurship, side hustles, and passive income. We have already blazed the path, showing you how to retire early and have financial independence so you will never work for someone else again. Successfully Unemployed, your place for freedom.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for being here on the Successfully Unemployed Show. I'm super excited to have you. And today I'm bringing on somebody that has literally lived around the corner from me at the same time, decided it'd be a fantastic idea to not work a job and travel the entire United States. I have Meg Brunson on the show with me. So Meg, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we've known each other for a little while now, and we went to my nephew's birthday party, and you were there with your daughter. It was just great, and we got to know each other even more, and come to find out you're successfully unemployed, and now you have your own company, and you also, actually I have a couple of them that you're also starting, and you're traveling the entire United States, which is fantastic. So how did you start making money without working that J-O-B, that just over broke job?
So I have an interesting two-step process. I was working as a service coordinator for adults with developmental disabilities, and when I got pregnant with my third child, and that third pregnancy was traumatic. I had some super rare medical issues, almost died a couple times, and super paraphrasing here, and said I'm not going back to work because I just had some emotional stuff I had to get through. So my husband, who at that point was a server, so I was the 9-to-5 breadwinner, he had to figure it out because I just said I'm not going back, I'm done, and we didn't really have a plan, but we had been faced with this situation that, you know, we didn't expect. So we figured things out, and I, at that point, just started trying anything I could to make some additional money. So I tried direct sales. I tried network marketing. I tried crafting. I love being creative. So I tried 101 different things, could not find the thing that was consistently bringing me money where I didn't feel like I was pulling teeth to make that money from friends and family, until I started a blog. And I know that sounds super basic, right? Like just starting a blog, but it is what it was. I started a local mommy blog helping parents find things to do with their kids with a focus on free and affordable things because we didn't have a lot of money ourselves to do things. And that was my first successful venture. I learned how to leverage social media to grow that blog, and it was really successful. Pretty soon people started coming to me, other bloggers that I was networked with, and they were asking me, you know, how are you using social media and what about Facebook ads and things like that. Fast forward a little bit, a couple years later, I have the opportunity to interview for a job at Facebook. I almost didn't get it because my major in school was criminal justice, and I've never worked in an official marketing company, but I was able to leverage what I had learned through my self-directed studies and my entrepreneurial endeavors to get that interview and then land the job working at Facebook.
At Facebook. Was that in Silicon Valley?
No. They have satellite offices, and I've been gone for about 3 years now, so forgive me because they may be moved and changed now, but they have satellite offices, and there was a small office here in Phoenix.
Wow, and that's where you and I met. So we're literally recording in our house, and you can see the, you know, family pictures behind us. And so, Meg, you used to live right around the corner. Our daughters are best friends, and so you decided to stop working at Facebook and go on your own. Now, talk to us about that process of working for Facebook and then realizing, you know what, I could do better on my own. I'm unemployable, like you said, and you went off on your own and become successfully unemployed.
Yeah, so it was just that. Like, I went back to the corporate world after having been entrepreneurial for a couple of years. I thought I had been healed. You know, like the trauma of that pregnancy had been healed, and I could now resume to normal, productive work. You know, this is the way I was raised. I think most of us are raised similarly. So I lasted almost a year. And honestly, the final nail in the coffin was right around Thanksgiving. And one of my daughters was in kindergarten, and she had a Thanksgiving play at school. And I was so excited to be able to go. And when I went in to request, you know, that break, that time off, I had 1.67 hours. And there's no joke. And so I'm sitting there going 1.67, and the play's probably about an hour, the commute time, you know. And in that moment, I was like, this is not how I want to parent. This is not how I want to live my life. I loved, I mean, it was fun, but they still want you to work for 40 hours, right? It's still a job. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore. I know that I can be successful as an entrepreneur. And now, that wasn't the reason I got the job, but now that I have worked at Facebook, I've acquired this whole new level of skills. You know, it took what I knew about Facebook ads and I was already being successful, but it really expanded on it. And I knew that I could leverage what I had learned at Facebook to enhance the entrepreneurial path I was on and really take it to all new levels. So that's what I did. And I probably jumped sooner than I should have. I'm not the planner. I'm like the excited, I have an idea and now I'm going to jump. So I jumped, I started my own thing, and we made it work.
So talk to us about that, leaving that job and saying, you know what, it's time. And like you said, it might have been a little soon, but now that you're done, you're obviously able to travel the entire country, which is fantastic. You've gone to 30 states so far. Now talk to us about that, like, let me make the decision to now make that leap in doing that. What went through your head? Did you have fears? Did you have any worries?
So I feel like I don't have a lot of fear until I jump and then I realize how high I am and how far the fall is. So I had been building my business for about 2.5 years before we actually took off. So it's not like it was super quick. There was a lot of time that went into building the business up so that my income was dependable, because when you're entrepreneurial, you know, you don't get that steady paycheck, so there's not that dependability. And my husband was really, he's really the logical one who was like, this isn't a great idea. So he had all the fears. And I have to tell you, like I said, once we launched, the first few months were difficult. They were a lot more difficult than I expected, but I didn't have the fears until we were actually doing it. And so then I had no choice but to get through them.
And so to get through them, you decided, let me go ahead and continue on marketing my Facebook business and really help other companies to utilize Facebook ads. And so talk to us about that idea of now making it work, because, sure, you know, obviously you're jumping and you're really high and you just gotta make it work. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So right now, I also have multiple streams of income, which I think is really important. And I know you agree with me on that. So most of my money, though, comes from one-on-one work. So I will connect with a business owner or an entrepreneur who wants to leverage the Facebook platform, but really doesn't know how, or doesn't know how to, you know, which buttons to check and all of that good stuff. So I will just take over their marketing for them and run it from scratch. So they have very little to do with the actual process. They can focus on their zone of genius, and I make sure their marketing is working. But I also have a bunch of other things going on. So part of what I've done is I've scaled back a little bit on the one-on-one work and focused a little more on some of the supporting work, if you will, so that I can spend less time working and more time traveling.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Because as you're working one-on-one with somebody, that's 1 hour or one time spent for a payment, as opposed to, say, in writing for a blog or having something that is constant coming in, like a passive income is so fantastic. Now, so usually with Success When Employed, we interview people on their business model and how to actually do the business. But I brought you on because, well, you're already doing that. You're already successfully unemployed. I've had a few people talk about starting a Facebook, agency and stuff like that. But what I want to talk to you about is you're traveling the entire country, United States. You've gone through 30 countries already.
30 countries.
30 states. Gone through 30 states already. And you are now on a trip to San Diego. Mm-hmm. You were on the East Coast. Now you're coming back. You met back now. We're in Phoenix right now, in my house in Phoenix, on your way to San Diego, where there's another conference. It's about Facebook marketing. But so talk to us about now taking that next step and traveling. On top of that, being able to make money without, like, people have to live in a city because their job's there. They have to go there every single day and they have to work and they have 1.6 hours of vacation time left. And so they can't travel. Right. Talk about that idea of being location independent. You're not dependent on being there.
Right. And that was really important for me. And right now I'm the only, my husband doesn't work. So he's been a stay-at-home dad for almost as long as I've been. It was about 6 months after I left Facebook that he lost his job. So he's been unemployed, but he doesn't have that entrepreneurial push like I do. So we balance each other out. Like, he's able to pick up, you know, a lot of the child care and a lot of that stuff so that I can focus on building my business. And the location independence part was super important to me because I've always had this dream of wanting to travel. And financially, it's we are saving money, believe it or not. And I think a lot of people have this perception that it's expensive to travel. And it can be, depending on how you do it, right? So we've got the RV, which was a relatively inexpensive purchase.
Pausing that. Oh. So we were living in the house. They're literally like the street over. And all of a sudden one day, your daughter, my daughter's friend, says, we're going to be driving an RV around the country. We're going to move out of this place. I'm like, just out of nowhere. Wow, that's awesome. So now you had to plan, you had to do a lot of stuff to get to the point where you're now going to do that. Talk to us about, should we buy a big, like one of those huge ones that has the engine as well as the motorhome? Or like, what should we do if we're thinking we can be location independent and we want to travel?
So number one, I joined a group called Full-Time Families. It's a free Facebook group that you can just find on Facebook. And it's other families who are RVing full time. So I was in that group for about a year, just soaking up
Before you moved, before you did it?
Oh yeah. Oh. Just soaking up information because I am not a camper. So I don't like camping. I do not like bugs. I very often do not like to be outside. All of these things kind of equal, maybe I should not RV full time. But I really liked the idea of travel. But the thought of like having to afford hotels and airfare with a family of six is, I just can't even fathom it.
It's expensive.
Yeah, yes. It would have been $2,000, I think, for us to go see my mom once, much less trying to travel all over the place. So an RV just seemed cost effective. So I was in this group for a year, just soaking up information, listening to other people's stories. What are they doing? How is it working? How are they juggling kids? Because that's the thing. We had, you know, a similar size 4-bedroom house with 4 children. So we're in like the same boat. Like our families are the same size. And sometimes you still feel like you're on top of each other, right? And so how are we going to go from a 4-bedroom house to a little box and just travel full time? And that was a really, really difficult thing to envision. So we started in the group and then we just started going to RV shows. I feel like you can only get so much from online. So luckily we're in Phoenix where there are a ton of RV shows, but there are RV shows anywhere. So no matter where you are, you can find an RV show near you. And we went to our first one in October, I want to say. So this, and we bought the RV we ended up getting in June. So it was a good chunk of time in advance. And we just walked through a bunch of stuff. You know, what can we see ourselves in? We made sure we brought all the kids with us, even though it kind of made it a pain in the butt to have all of the kids at the RV show. But we brought them all in the RV because they're all going to be with us in the RV. So let's see, you know, where would we sleep? How would we live? And at first we thought we wanted the bus, right? Like the big tour bus. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the reason we went with a trailer was because we liked the floor plan better, and it was also more affordable. So those buses, we were looking at like a minimum of $100,000. We've never been homeowners, so that's a whole other story, but we've had a whole history of rentals. And without the credit of being a homeowner, we wouldn't have gotten approved for the big bus anyhow. So we decided to go with the bumper pole. We have a big SUV that would fit all of our family, and then we could just tow the trailer behind us. So that's what we ended up going with. But I mean, we definitely looked at all of the options. We weighed the risks, you know, with electrical issues, you know, with a fifth wheel versus a class A or a class C, and how we would all fit in there, and then towing a vehicle.
Yeah, and thinking of it, you have to buy the truck as well, because you had a van before. The idea, now get rid of that and get a truck, and then get a trailer, and then make sure you're towing it properly, driving properly, worrying about the swaying and all that sort of stuff. And another one, people don't, well, they probably think about it once you're getting there, you're schooling for your kids. Like, you have to homeschool as well.
Not homeschoolers.
Yeah. And so you've been traveling for 7 months now, correct? Mm-hmm. So to walk us through the idea of now figuring out homeschooling, driving, working while you're independent, location independent, you're driving all around. Talk to us about all that.
Sure. So the homeschooling piece, you know, it depends upon what state you're living in, first of all. We originally are from New York, where homeschooling regulations are very strict, and it's very different than here in Arizona, where, as you know, you check a box on a paper and you're done. So Arizona has very relaxed homeschooling laws, which make it very easy to transition to homeschooling from the road. We do call it road schooling, kind of as a fun little play on words. And the way that we've approached it, number one, is we kind of just jumped in and we've been making tweaks as we go. So the kids do reading every single day. They have an app on their tablets. They each have an Amazon or Kindle Fire. So they have an app that they have to do reading half an hour every day on their app. It's Raz Kids. And that's something they used in school. We also do a lot of audiobook reading in the car or audiobook listening in the car. And then they have books in the RV that they'll read as well. So reading is an everyday thing. Math is a just about everyday thing. They have books that we've got from Barnes & Noble, from the Dollar Tree, from, you know, all sorts of those little math books that are age appropriate for them, as well as flashcards, which they enjoy doing. And then everything else, we've just been plugging in based on where we are and what we're doing. So when we were in Florida at the Everglades, we learned about earth science. When we were in DC, it was history galore, right? Because the National Archives, the kids loved seeing all of the official documents. We even went and did like the factory tours at Anheuser-Busch and Jack Daniels, which were definitely for me and my husband, but the kids got to learn about Prohibition.
Oh, yeah.
And got
history
to learn about
science as
yeah,
well. Yeah,
how you make products like that. So there's just endless opportunities for learning, and the national park system has been huge. It was $80 for us to get an annual pass to the national parks, and it has paid for itself multiple times.
One little tip also for that, so for national parks, if you have a fourth grader, you can get in for free.
Yeah.
Like just for some reason, just fourth grade. And so all of our kids are either in fourth grade or just got out of it. So for the next at least 3 or 4 years, we're going to be having a fourth grader. But for $80, that's nothing to go into yeah. every single, because each time it's like $20 or $30 just to drive in there.
Yeah. The Grand Canyon was $30. I want to say White Sands was another $20. The Everglades, I mean, what was it? The Wright Brothers National Monument in North Carolina. There's so many that are and they're all great for kids. They all have something unique. They have a really great, it's called a Junior Ranger program. I don't know if your
yes,
kids.
Yes, yes.
So you go up to any like national park and they'll give you a workbook with age appropriate activities for the kids to do. They can earn a little pin, and we've collected pins from probably like 2 dozen places times 4. So we have a ton of these pins. But the kids, I don't want to say that it's their favorite part, because it is work, but it's part of what their school has become. So it's easy for me, who's not a teacher, I'm not a homeschooler, but it's a really quick, easy, and free way to make what we're doing part of their education.
Yeah, and we homeschool. Actually, I say that I don't do the homeschooling. My wife has the hard job of homeschooling. I have the easy job of making money. And so she does all the hard work, but there's so much great curriculum out there. Mm-hmm. There's YouTube videos. There are companies that have like DVDs. You can actually buy the DVDs and learn from there. And so workbooks, like our kids are usually doing at least 4 or 5 different workbooks a semester on each different topic. So as far as learning, you have all that literally at your fingertips. Now it's just obviously getting them to do it, and you having the fortitude and the patience to be able, I'm going to go ahead, you get to work. But what's great is you don't have to be locked down to a job or a school, which is absolutely amazing. Now, from there, you're driving around. Talk to us about how was it when you first started driving? Because I remember when you guys were leaving, you guys went and took like a week, like a couple, 3-4 days or however long, went to Grand Canyons.
Yep.
And then said, hey, this worked. We can actually do it.
Yeah. So we didn't want to just take off for an indefinite road trip without making sure that we had everything we needed and that we knew how all the buttons worked and everything like that. So we planned like a trial run. We took, I think it was 3 nights up to the Grand Canyon, which for us is, I want to say, a 3 or 4 hour drive. It's not bad at all. So we took that little 3 or 4 hour drive.
But you also got to go uphill. Like you have to go up the mountain. Like that's another new adventure, you know, pulling a trailer.
And we had never pulled a trailer before until we left the lot. Like this was totally a brand new thing
wow.
for us. And it was tough because there's an incline when you're going up north where you actually have to turn the air conditioning off. And it was summer at this point, so you really have to.
Yes.
Because the pull, and I'm not like a car person, but it can cause the car to overheat. So luckily we had no issues. But it was nice to kind of get some of those hills out of the way. Mm-hmm. Like you have now a level of what's the word I'm looking for?
It's just experience, too.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, so I went through with my family, my wife, my 4 kids, and my dad. We drove through Japan. We went to Japan for 6 weeks, drove, I want to say, almost 2,000 miles around the entire island
oh, wow.
of Japan. On the left-hand side, And so what's interesting is we're normally driving on the right-hand side, but after about, I want to say, 2 days, I started to feel comfortable because I had it under my belt. It was still kind of rough. But then after that, everywhere I went that I drove on the left-hand side, I was absolutely fine because I had that experience. I have that ability to now draw on past experience. And so now you go and take one trip. You go and take one trip and then you go ahead and leave. And so now you're done with that. You said, it's time. Let's do it. Talk to us about that first push, like that's first 4 hours or whatever it was to get to the next stop.
Yeah, so it did not go smoothly, first of all. Like, we were supposed to leave on, I think it was a Saturday, and there was a delay with U-Haul. So we have two storage units. That's what we ended up doing. We went down from our four-bedroom house. We gave away. I didn't even want to deal with selling stuff. We just donated most of the stuff. There's a lot of great charities here. So we donated a lot of our stuff. We have two, like, small 5x10 or whatever storage pods. So U-Haul had a delay, and we did not get out when we wanted to. And the place we wanted to go did not have a spot for us anymore. So we had to, like, last minute find a new place to go. We showed up, and we had to back in. I've never backed in.
Never backed in.
That was not something we had done yet. So when we went to the Grand Canyon, we just pulled through. So we're at this place, we have to back in, and I don't know how to back in a trailer. So luckily, one thing we've discovered about the RVing community in general is that everybody's amazing. Like, people who RV, they just look out for each other, and they're typically really easygoing and laid back. And so the guy who was next to us had just gotten home, and he had a baby with him that was probably, I don't know, a year old, maybe 8 months, maybe. And he was amazing. He stood out with us for like an hour and was like, pull up here, do this, turn the wheel. We had no idea what we were doing. If it wasn't for him, I don't know if our marriage would have survived. Like, we kind of joked around that was like our first free marriage counseling. So we learned, now I can back things up. Now I got it. But it has taken some time. So there's definitely a learning curve. And I think you just have to give yourself grace, like with most things. That's one thing over this 7 months so far. Me, my husband, my children, we've all learned to go with the flow a little bit, to adapt a little easier, patience, and giving each other grace. And it hasn't been perfect. You saw a couple dings on the car. It happens. And it's hard because I'm really hard on myself. So I hate being like, yes, I was driving the car when I jackknifed or when I hit a telephone pole. This is real life, though. And at the end of the day, nobody was hurt. The car is still drivable, and we are learning. So, well,
and now, after 7 months, 30 different states you've seen, all the experience that your kids have, they're going to remember this for the rest of their lives. Yeah. Just like whenever we travel anywhere, we love taking the kids because they're seeing things that most kids would never even dream to be able to see. Now, talk to us a little about, because I know you love to go and do experiences, like go to Busch Gardens or go to places, but you told me that there's a wise way to actually go to these things for free. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so we very rarely pay to do anything. And part of it is just, it's expensive, right?
Especially for six, family of six.
Especially for six. And all of my kids are old enough now that they all like count as kids. You know how sometimes you can get away where it's like kids under two or three? Yep. Not anymore. So I've been blogging. I mean, I started the blog now I have to think how old that kiddo is. 7 years ago-ish when I started my first blog.
And what was the name of the blog?
It's totally different now.
Okay, what's it now? What's it called?
Now it's Kids Out and About. That's I blog for them.
Yes.
So I started my own blog. Then I started like a little blogging franchise. Like I joined into a franchise. And then, you know, just as life and luck would have it, I connected with Kids Out and About. That was started 18 years ago in Rochester, New York, which is where I'm from. And they are in 37 different markets with more coming this year. So I connected up with them. I joined them as their Phoenix editor. I handle their social media marketing. And then when I had this idea, I approached her and said, do you want a travel editor? You know, they didn't have anybody doing travel. And so they were like, sure, you know, feel free to leverage the platform. So I write reviews for everything we do on that platform, even the national parks, which are free. So it's not just like only the paid things, it's even the free stuff, you know, things, tips for other families. Like if you wanted to go to White Sands, bring your own sled. They're super expensive. Things like that. You know what I mean? Things I wish I knew. So we've been writing this blog. So what I'll do is I'll reach out to somebody and I'll say, you know, hey, NASA, we're going to be in Florida in a couple weeks. I've got six kids. We've got this platform. We reach this many people every month, every year, and we would love to come and do a review. Would you supply us with press passes? And very often, I mean, it's not always a, but when you know the right thing to say and you've got the right, you know, data, the right platform to back it up, they'll come back and they'll give you the passes that you want. Sometimes we get super lucky and get treated to a couple extra goodies, you know, PR stuff from the company. But it's been great. So we've been able to do things like NASA, like Busch Gardens, Legoland Discovery Center, the Freedom Tour in Boston.
And these are for free.
Oh, yeah.
And you reach out because you're working for a travel company. Obviously, they're already open. It's not going to cost them any more. They're just missing out on a little bit of money. But the publicity that you're going to get by publishing that on their site, you gave me an idea. Like, we were talking last night, and I was thinking, my goodness, I need to start a travel blog because we love traveling. I just need to start it, have it there so that as I'm going, because we love documenting all that sort of stuff and pictures and all that.
Yeah.
My wife literally, I encourage her and I have her where she writes down our itinerary because we're not going to remember.
Yeah.
But at the time, you can easily write down, and so we could publish that as well. But then it's, I mean, I'm super frugal. And so to get, like, going to Busch Gardens for free, I mean, that's expensive. Yes, let's do
and
that.
You'll never know what other things, like, I had somebody reach out to me and said, have you ever thought about using a drone? And I was like, well, I don't, like, it would be kind of cool. They said, well, what if we send you a drone? Would you test it out, use it, you can keep it, and then let people know what you think? So we've also gotten stuff, you know, like, stuff that we can use. And then one thing that we didn't even talk about yet, you know, since I've been back, is I reached out to, there was one city, we were going to Wilmington, I reached out to an aquarium and they said, have you reached out to the Visitors Bureau? And that was something I hadn't even really thought of. So I reached out to the Visitors Bureau as a blogger with all my information. And they basically said, here's a list of like 12 places that would be good for you. Which ones are you interested in? So I picked like 4 or 5 and they put everything together. So when we to Wilmington, I just walked into the visitor center. They gave me a bag full of goodies and full of the passes that we needed. And then we were able to just do all the stuff while we were there. So it was like one point of contact and all the stuff we wanted to do. And we ended up doing the aquarium and a horse like drawn tour around the city. And now I can't think, the Children's Museum, a couple beaches. And then we found like other things while we were there. But it was, oh, and there was a railroad museum that we almost didn't do, but it ended up being super cool because it was like a Guinness World Record longest model train. Anyhow, so many great experiences. And being able to barter, because that's really what it is, in exchange for exposure. So they give us tickets and then we give them exposure. And a lot of these places, you know, Busch Gardens, they're open. 6 bodies walking through the door doesn't significantly increase any of their mm-hmm. operational costs. So it's kind of a no-brainer for a lot of people, as long as you have the foundations that are going to benefit them. So being able to know who your target market is, like I can tell you the demographics of the people who read this blog and this newsletter, and specifically that they are mostly moms and that they've got young kids. So the places that we want to go, that's who they want to reach. So it's been hugely beneficial for us.
So that's helped you also get into places, but at the same time also be location independent, being able to drive all mm-hmm. around. So as you're going, you've gone to 30 states so far. Are you going to go to all of them? And then at what point do you feel like it's going to be, you know what, let's go back to living in a house?
And that's a great question. And I don't know how on point my answer is going to be. So I want to hit all of the states. Obviously, we're never going to make it to Hawaii in the RV. But I would love to make it to all of the states that are, you know,
the
connected.
Yes.
For some reason, I just missed that word. I was like, what is that word? So we want to make it to the 48. And I'd like to go to Alaska, but I don't know if I really want to drive through Canada to get there. I feel like I might want to take a boat or something.
I'm just kidding.
But we'll see. So I definitely want to hit the 48. I don't know if we're going to make it in a year, which was the original plan. Mm-hmm. I've got my husband on board to flex that slightly. So like if it's going to take us like 15 or 18 months, I think we're good. When it comes to what I'm calling year 2, which may be after 18 months, but whatever, I think we're going to slow down, go back to our top places. And part of what we're doing is figuring out where it is that we do want to plant our roots. So at this point, we could live anywhere. And it had been like that for 3 years. We were living here in Phoenix with no real roots here. A lot of my family from back home was like, are you coming back to New York now that you're not working in Phoenix? But we're done with snow. So New York is not the option. Sorry. Sorry, family. So we're looking at some other areas, though. We still really love Phoenix. I feel like I could live in an RV for the rest of my life.
Wow.
But that was part of the condition with my husband, who does not want to live in an RV for the rest of his life. And since I want to stay married, we will probably settle down at some point, but I don't know where it is.
What's great is you've also experienced all these different states and all the other ones you're going to go to. You're going to have an understanding of, you know what? I am location independent. I could live in any one of these states. I could literally, if I wanted to, continue living in my trailer, buy just a plot of land and live there. I could absolutely do that. But what's great is you're experiencing every single little state and every area that you might want to live, rather than some people, you know what? I'm just going to move to, let's say, you know, Nevada, or I'm going to move to this state or whatever, where you're going to move, but you haven't actually experienced it. You don't know if you're going to like it. You might like it, fantastic, but there might be where you're like, you know what, this is not the right place. I've had friends where their parents moved to a state and then was there literally there for like 6 months, and I hate this, and they moved back. I'm like, oh.
And that's, I think, why we're thinking about doing this like longer term stay. So we also want to make sure we stay in like the worst time. So if we're going to go to North Carolina, we want to be there through hurricane season. Do you know what I mean? Like, we really liked Alabama, which surprised us. I feel like that was the biggest surprise, because at first we were like, we could just skip Alabama and be fine, but we really liked it. But if we were going to live there, we'd want to go visit in the heart of summer. But you need to experience the bad times. But we also know that even my husband, who's been anti-RVing, we don't want to get rid of the RV. We want to keep that. We still want to be able to do trips. We've talked about, and again, this is like totally dependent on us making all of this money at some point in the future. Like, we could have a plot of land in Vermont to spend the summer and the fall, because Vermont is one of our favorite states so far. Just beautiful, the hills, the trees, but snow. So then we could have like a plot of land or a house or something down south, and you could split time. So I feel like it's opening our eyes to some of the other opportunities we've stayed with, and we didn't really talk about this. I feel like we could talk like 12 episodes. I could make a whole podcast about RV living, but a lot of the places we stay are people's homes. So it's people who have room for RVs or land for RVs, and they let you stay for free, and they request some compensation for the use of their utilities. So it's a really cost-effective way we've been able to live, you know, as we go from place to place. And there's a lot of people who we're staying with who live in their RVs, and they maybe, you know, they stay behind their business, or they have just these plots of land. We stayed with a couple people who live in their RV on the property that they own with a house that they rent.
That's awesome.
So it's like we stayed with somebody, and I want to say it was in Knoxville, and they were in the RV and we were kind of parked in front of them, but there was a house right there, and they're like, oh yeah, that's our house. We rent it. The family's great. And they were going to be in Knoxville for a couple more weeks, and then they were going south for the winter. So it's like, there's so many ways that people are adapting to this lifestyle, and there's such a wide range of people who are doing it. So I've met a lot of people who are like, well, my kids have special needs, or, you know, there's this one reason or another why it won't work. And I can't relate to all of those, obviously, but in that full-time families group, I've seen families who have kids with cancer. I've seen families who have kids with autism. I've seen families who have 9 children. Oh. Like, there are families of all sizes, all shapes, all colors, all whatever, and everybody makes it work in their own way. So there's so many ways to adapt it if travel is something that you're interested in. And I've always been so jealous of travel bloggers, because it looks like such a luxurious life. And we barely even scratched on some of the breakdowns, you know, tire blowouts and broken axles. Like, there's been some bad stories. But all in all, it's been amazing, and I would not change anything for the world.
All those experiences, yeah. So for us, my wife and I, she's always talked about, let's just get an RV and travel around America. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. But, you know, after talking to you, after talking to quite a few friends, I'm like, you know what? I could do like 3 or 4 months and just drive all the way around as best as we can. I'm definitely a house person, but I could see myself doing that. But what, similar to you, so we'll keep our house here in Arizona. It'll be our winter house, you know? And so in the winter we come here, it's amazing. And Phoenix in the winter is amazing. But we might live in like Wyoming, Montana, or whatever in the summer. We'll snowbird. So, man, yeah, so Meg, you've given us so much great information. Now, I want to jump into the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
Oh, sure.
Awesome. So if you were to give advice to anybody who wants to get started, either RVing or being location independent, what would it be?
Just to do it. Just make the decision, learn everything you can learn, and understand that there's going to be hiccups, like with everything, there's going to be speed bumps, and you'll adapt, you'll figure it out. Make sure you have a good support network, make sure that you're, assuming if you're in a relationship, that your partner is on board. But there's single parents who are doing it too, so.
That's fantastic. So if you were to go back and give yourself some advice, your younger self, you know, 20-year-old self, what would it be? Could be business, life, whatever.
And it's funny, I just had this conversation with somebody right before you. And I wish that I could go back to myself when I was in college and tell myself about the RVing life. Because don't get me wrong, now, I know that may sound, I have no like reason to make you want to RV. I just really enjoy it. And I love my kids, but I can't stop thinking about how cool it would have been to be like that single 20 something living in my RV, traveling around and having all these experiences as a young adult, you know, being able to see all this stuff and learn all this stuff on my own. But at the time that was like a really like hippie thing to do. And I never would have even considered it. So I wish that I could go back now. I see so many cute little RVs and I'm so jealous, but my family would never fit in a cute little one. So it would be to go back and get a cute little RV.
Yeah, that's awesome. My wife says, you know what we should do? We should get a tiny house. I'm like, babe, we're living in a tiny house right now. It's a 1,200 square foot house. Like, that's how tiny you want to get. Oh, we need a smaller one just to travel in. Like, oh my goodness. Anyways, so next question. What is one tool, one app, or something that we should use that you're currently using that you really enjoy?
Ooh, and that's hard because I'm all in RV mode, but that probably won't benefit you. So I'm going to try to jump. I don't know. I think this is super basic, but I think like the number one thing I use is my Google Calendar. It's hard because I'm so busy and my husband is a stay-at-home dad, for lack of anything better to call him. But he needs to know, you know, when I have phone calls. I mean, we're living in this little box right now. So when I have an interview or something like that, he'll either need to take the kids or I need to go somewhere. We have one car, obviously, other than the RV. So it's that Google Calendar, being able to share access with my husband so that we're all on the same page, and it helps with communication.
I love that. That's fantastic. I know in marriage, communications is one of the best things to help your marriage get better and better. The more openly that you communicate, not just calendar, not just, I mean, literally everything, every bit of communication helps so much. So what is one nonfiction book that you would suggest? It could be business, life, whatever.
The one I just finished reading, it's so hard because I say read audiobook, is I listen to Pat Flynn's Superfans. Did you listen to that one yet?
I haven't.
It's a really great book. Now, I love Pat Flynn, so I guess I should say that. But Superfans is about how to really build those superfans in your business. So you don't need like 10,000 followers. You need 1,000 superfans who will buy what you have to offer. He's got some great strategies. And it's funny, having met him many times in person, I'm like, oh, yeah, he did use that on me. You know what I mean? Like, you could, oh, yeah, but it worked.
Yeah, and so for me, with Pat Flynn, I was seeing everything that he was doing. I was like, man, that guy's making like $130,000 a month, $150,000 a month. If I make 1% of that, I mean, it's grocery money. That's, I mean, travel money. So, yeah, so that's why Pat Flynn's great. I think he's fantastic. So, Meg, you've given us so much information. Now, I know you also love helping people. You love showing people how to do this. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, learn more about you, or learn what you're doing, how can they do that?
So the best place to go for all things me, my website's personally branded, so it's megbrunson.com. I also have all of our travel stuff at familyroadventures.com, but it's all intermixed. And then we're actually going to have a summit in June of 2020. It's called Become Influential, becomeinfluential.com. So if you are intrigued by like the thought of all the bartering and traveling, it's really going to be about stepping into your influence as a business owner so that you can make money, so you can increase your income, which may come in the form of money, but it also may come in the form of experiences, which I think for parents is almost just as important.
I agree. Meg, thank you so much.
Thank you. Fantastic.
Great information. I really appreciate being on the show.
Awesome. It was so much fun. I'm glad we could fit it into our trip.
Absolutely.
Today's episode has been brought to you by the Real Estate Wealth Builders membership. That's the membership that I founded, teaching people how to quit their J-O-B by investing in real estate rental properties. Now, Real Estate Wealth Builders is your place to learn how to invest in real estate with 5 different masterclass courses, group coaching with me, and a private student community where we all work together, all the tools and the discounts, all the resources and everything that you need to quit your J-O-B by investing in real estate. Now, I do want to show you how to do this completely for free. If you want to learn about investing in real estate for free, I want to get you my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. That's R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777 so you can see how you can quit your job, that job, by investing in real estate. I'll show you how to find properties, how to use other people's money to buy properties, and how to scale the business to be successfully unemployed just like I did. Now, did you also know that there are video versions of each and every single episode on the Successfully Unemployed show? Well, I did record every single one of these for you. I recorded them for you so you will be able to learn from the experts themselves, see what they're doing, see everything that they are talking about on this show visually, and all their examples, all their slides, all their pictures that they even draw. Everything is on there. Go to successfullyunemployed.co/YouTube. Or if you just go to YouTube and type in Successfully Unemployed, more than likely you're going to find me. So successfullyunemployed.co/YouTube. And I would truly appreciate it if you subscribe to Successfully Unemployed on YouTube and wherever you're listening to this podcast, subscribe to this show so that you can always get every bit of new information on how to quit your job. Also, if you got anything out of the show, share it with just one person. Share it with just one person so that they can see the light, that it is so much better to not work a job, be successfully unemployed, and be your own boss. All right, guys, this is it for today's show. I will see you next week. See ya.